Yeah, case number is, next case is case number 62504, Pena versus Pena. We have Mr. Swanson for the appellant, Mr. Bullock for the respondent. Mr. Swanson, you may proceed. And did you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal? How much time would you like to reserve for rebuttal?
What's that?
How much time would you like to reserve for rebuttal? After 15 minutes, you know.
3 minutes.
Okay, very well. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you. My name is Kyle Swanson, and I'm here representing the appellant in this matter, Mr. Paul Pena. This matter comes before the Nevada Supreme Court after a decision at the lower court in the 6th Judicial District, County of Humboldt, where Nicole Pena, the respondent, filed a motion to modify child custody of the party's two minor children, Nathan and Alyssa Pena. The district court granted that motion, and this led to this appeal. There are several issues that have been briefed by the parties, and I would like to start by highlighting what I feel is the most important issue, and that is the Ellis versus Carucci factors. As I'm sure you're all well aware, in Ellis versus Carucci, it says when we are modifying child custody, it is a two-pronged test. We have to look first as to whether or not there's been a material change of circumstances since the last order, and if we get past that, and answered in the affirmative, then we look at whether the move will benefit the best interests of the minor children. In this particular case, the appellant believes that the district court erred in finding either of those pronged in the affirmative. First of all, on the change of circumstances, this is a case in which Texas issued an order back in 2005. Texas at that time had jurisdiction over these children. The Texas court found that the appellant, Paul Pena, should be the primary physical custodian. At that time, Mr. Pena was a member of the U.S. Army. He was a member of the U.S. Army when the parties married in 1997. So not only was he a member of the U.S. Army, he had also been deployed to Iraq the first time for a year and a half, and he had also had his duty station changed from Fort Hood to Fort Polk. Those were the facts that the Texas court had when it made a decision on child custody. Now let's fast forward several years to when the district court in Nevada hears this case, and we ask, what has changed? Okay? When we have the trial in Winnemucca in 2011, the facts were that Paul Pena was still a member of the U.S. Army. That had not changed. Paul Pena had been deployed two more times, once in 2006, once in 2010. That had not changed. Paul Pena had re-enlisted in the Army, so he continued his service with the Army. He had also had his duty station changed two more times to Fort Leonard Wood in the state of Missouri and then back to Fort Hood in Texas. That same time he was deployed for the third time to Iraq. He's actually been there three different times. And so the question becomes, where is the material change of circumstances?
And didn't he indicate specifically there was a material change in the fact that these kids had some stability in being able to attend the same school for a significant period of time? And in his order, Judge Montero actually indicated he was considering other factors in addition to the deployment.
He did. He did focus on the stability, as well as the reenlistment. He said it's not the fact that he was deployed, it's the fact that he reenlisted, and the reenlistment made him continue in the Army where he was subject to being deployed, to being moved from duty station to duty station. And so Judge Montero did say that stability was part of it. But the stability, I think, is part of the best interest analysis, almost more so than the change of circumstances.
Well, Mr. Swanson, doesn't the first factor require a district court to assess the substantial change in circumstances, as the words say, in the context of the welfare of the child?
Exactly.
What you've articulated is there were no change in circumstances as it related to Mr. Pena. But didn't the district court find change in circumstances as it related to Ms. Kemper and the two children? And if so, when that prong is being evaluated, shouldn't the court evaluate the change in circumstances as to mom, dad, and children?
Well, and the district court said, I treat this as a family unit, the change in circumstances to the family unit, but if you...
So what is your assessment of the district court's error, alleged error, in his treatment or evaluation of the change in circumstances with respect to Ms. Kemper and the change in circumstances with respect to the children? How did he commit error there?
First of all, the district court in his decision said on the record that he found all sorts of these changes with Mrs. Kemper. My interpretation of Ellis versus Carucci is we're not focusing on the change of circumstances in the parents. We're directed to look at the change of circumstances in the children.
Well, I'm not sure that was the case. I think the way the statute was indicated that you're supposed to look at the best interest or the change in circumstances of the parents as opposed to the children. And so I'm not sure that's the case.
Okay, well, and even if we're looking at a change of circumstances in the parents, if that's what the law is, again, you look at the situation as it existed at the time of the Texas order and the time of the Nevada order, and really nothing had changed. In fact,
as to Ms. Kemper?
Well, as to Ms. Kemper, her...
As to her, I mean, her lifestyle, some of the issues that affected the decision about the custody of the children were quite a bit different than what her circumstances were in Winnemucca in 2011. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes,
I mean,
and
she
no.
had changed the way... She was now married. She had had three children. She'd had some personal issues before that when the original custody decision was made. You wouldn't find any substantial changes in her conduct, behavior, lifestyle from one to the other?
Certainly she remarried. We married twice. She had three more children. Yes, that is a change. Is that a substantial change for these children, Alyssa and Nathan? She didn't really change her lifestyle, in our opinion, because the children floundered in her care. Their grades plummeted. There were disciplinary issues that started happening at school. There were in-house suspensions for the daughter because she was let go to school in provocative clothing, showing bra straps. She was...
wait a minute. Isn't that exactly part of the changed circumstances? Don't we have evidence in this record that says that changed significantly by the time Judge Montero was looking at this family unit? And I like the way he described it. Family unit, I think, is what Ellis versus Carucci directs us to look at. So am I reading the record wrong? Wasn't there a shift in the daughter's behavior?
In the 6 years that Mr. Pena exercised physical custody, Mrs. Pena was not a hands-on parent. There were many visitations that she missed completely. There were sometimes she would go a year without seeing the children, only seeing them on summers. When she did get an opportunity, when Mr. Pena was deployed the second time in 2006, she got the kids on the arrangement that she was going to have them until he got back from Iraq, but that was short-circuited because something happened that made the kids fly back to Louisiana after only 1 month.
You haven't answered my question about the daughter. You brought evidence before this court that you say is in the record about her behaving badly and doing poorly in school, I believe. That is part of the record. Doesn't the record also indicate that she has, at least in recent past, done much better?
The daughter much better in recent past? No. No, I don't think the record does show that, not whatsoever. No. The recent past was when Nicole Pena had these children, and they began having school issues, disciplinary issues, hygiene issues, and other things.
You're telling me this record says she continues to have these problems?
As of today?
Mm-hmm. As of the last time that Judge Montero had hands on this case?
Yes. Yes, she was still having those problems at the time he... And Judge Montero did speak to her in chambers, and we admit, she said, I want to stay here with Mom. I want to stay in Nevada. But the reason for that, I think, is a little bit of teenage manipulation. She's now free to basically do whatever she wants to do. She's not giving any parental supervision anymore like she was Mr. Pena. She can go to school wearing whatever she wants. She can get into disciplinary action. She can fail in classes, and really nothing's being done about it. When she was with Mr. Pena, her grades were high. He was a hands-on parent. He was the one best able to make sure that she was going to prosper as a youth and reach her goals. That wasn't happening once she moved to Winnemucca.
Could you trace for me and the court factually just a brief chronology of these children's They were in the primary custody of the father, correct?
Right.
Up until when?
At the very end of 2009, beginning of 2010, he got his last orders to deploy for the third time. And so around Christmas of 2009, the children went back to Nevada with a verbal agreement between the two of them that, Nicole, you will take care of the kids while I'm gone, and the kids will be returned to me when I come back after my deployment.
And by verbal, you mean oral?
It was oral. It was not
so
oral.
There was no court order. The court order was he had primary custody even when he was deployed.
Right. There was nothing that changed that.
Okay. So when he came back, when did he come back and request the return of the children?
He came back in February of 2011. And the parties had a conversation where she talked him into saying, you know, they're in the middle of a school year. At least let them go through May. Let them finish the school year. And he said, all right, that's probably in the best interest of the kids. We'll go ahead and do that.
So their lives were living with their father as the primary custodian up until late 2009 when they went to live with the mother in Winnemucca permissively by the father without any court involvement. The Texas decree was still controlling.
Correct.
And then they lived with the mother for a year or a year and a half in Winnemucca?
It was about a year and a half.
And then the mother and father get into a dispute. The father comes to try to see or take the kids back, and she refuses. Is that what happened?
She refused. She took the kids out of school early. She left the town. They couldn't find her.
How long did that status go on?
At the same time, she was filing her motion before the Nevada District Court. After that motion was filed, Mr. Pena got a temporary order for some summer visitation, which lasted about 1 month. After that summer visitation was over, the kids had to come back again to Nevada.
Why?
Pardon me?
Why did they have to come back again to Nevada?
Because Judge Montero had issued a temporary order that the kids had to stay in Nevada until he could make a full resolution of the issues on the motion.
So, in a sense, the court produced the change of circumstances that then became the basis for the final order.
It certainly assisted in it, yes, yes. And one of the problems here was the delay. These children had already been with Nicole Pena for almost a year and a half because of his military duties, but then they stayed in Nevada because it took so long to litigate this. There was about a six-month period where we were looking for jurisdiction to be established, whether this would be a Texas decision on the motion to modify or a Nevada decision.
Okay. Hey, did you want to reserve your last 3 minutes?
I did.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bullock, on behalf of the respondent.
Good morning. My name is Jack Bullock. I'm representing the respondent, Nicole Kemper, in this matter. And may it please the court, Mr. Swanson. I'd like to start by, I guess, indicating that the state of Texas lost its jurisdiction after Mr. Pena left for his duty station changes in Louisiana and Missouri. And he was gone for the better part of 6 years. Nevada obtained his jurisdiction when he voluntarily gave the children to Ms. Kemper to stay in Nevada while he was deployed. And at that time,
the exercise of that decision, Mr. Bullock, was consistent with the provisions of the Texas decree, right?
Say that again, Your Honor.
His decision to have Ms. Kemper watch over and supervise the children in his last deployment was consistent with an express provision contained within the Texas decree.
That's correct.
However, so he wasn't waiving anything. He was exercising a right that existed under that decree. He could have also selected, as he had done in previous deployments, other relatives to supervise the children while he was deployed, correct?
Right, and he could have very well done a family.
So how do you lose jurisdiction in Texas?
He lost jurisdiction in Texas by the fact that the children moved with him to different duty stations, and Texas had no contact with those children. That was the thrust of the Texas judge saying that Texas no longer had jurisdiction, and he was transferring the case to Nevada. Because the children had not gone to school in Texas for the better part of 6 years, had not physically resided in Texas for the better part of 6 years.
Wasn't the Nevada District Court bound by the decree from Texas, even if the Texas judge lost jurisdiction?
at least it would have been had Mr. Pena taken some action to do something before he got deployed. He could have very easily done a family case plan. He could have gone to the Texas court and obtained orders placing the children somewhere other than the mother. He didn't do any of that stuff. His own testimony said he was doing it under legal advice from the JAG office. So I think it was a voluntary.
I don't understand why he would have to go back to the Texas court to exercise authority provided to him in the decree, specifically provided to him in the decree, to identify, apparently in his sole discretion, who the children would reside with while he is deployed. Why would he have to go back to the Texas court? Why would he have to go back to any court?
Well, as our system has been evolving due to these deployments, there was a statute in Texas that I cited in my brief that specifically allows for him to make those kinds of court orders. Had he done some of that stuff, I suspect we would not be here.
But they had a court order. I mean, that's my point of confusion here as well. I think they had a court order that said parties work this out, and they, if you're going to be deployed, the mother can take charge of the children pursuant to the existing decree. So she did so. And then we come to change circumstances, and all of this was within the contemplation of the original decree that there would be times where he's deployed and the children would live with the mother or with another relative. So if you're talking about a Nevada court changing a Texas court's decree, the changed circumstances are what? That the mother has improved her lifestyle and the children have lived here during the period of the father's deployment?
Well, the change of circumstances, in my opinion, as indicated as a family unit, is that the children had gone from school to school to school, four different schools in that period of time, and by the time they finished a year and a half of schools in Nevada, I think that was a material change of circumstances. Certainly the mother's life in the 6 years since the, or 7 years since the previous Texas decree, was a change of circumstances. And I think that's what the court found when it issued its order of June 6, 2011, directed to remain in Nevada and appointed a guardian ad litem so that he could anticipate hearing the case.
Counsel, as to that issue in terms of this change in circumstance, was counsel mistaken when he talked about the daughter during this period of time prior to the court's decision, whether her schooling and incidents with the school improved or went the other way? What's your recollection of the record?
My recollection of the record, Your Honor, is that the oldest child did have some adjustments going into her freshman year of high school, which I think is not atypical of a lot of kids going into high school. I think at her age she was also exploring and trying to figure out what is appropriate, and by her getting directed by the school not to wear the kind of clothes she did not wear that kind of clothing. And so all of that stuff resolved itself.
Did her grades go up or grades go down? What?
Well, at part of it they were going down. By the time we got into court, I believe her grades were up.
Well, the record I read somewhere was three Fs, a C, and a B or something.
I believe that was her freshman year. And I think the subsequent semesters and years she did much better.
Did she repeat that year?
No.
I believe she had. Do you have a record cite that she did much better later? Because the only thing I saw was the decline. I didn't see the upturn.
Well, I think the last exhibit from the Nevada school did not show the actual final semester grades.
Right.
But even for those, if you looked at them all, they were passing grades.
Okay.
She was not held back. She got credit for that work. So I would like to next turn to the simple question, at least I believe it's a simple question, of whether or not the deployment statute in NRS 125C.150 should be applicable in this case. And I believe Mr. Swanson, in his closing arguments with the district court clearly indicated that the statute should not apply retroactively. So I don't know whether that's an issue that the court is looking at. The next issue I'd like to briefly talk about is that I believe that this is, NRS 125C is a situation of first impression before this court. And I believe that we cannot effectively deal with children in custody and modification cases if we have a statute that treats one parent differently from the other. And in this situation, I do not believe it is appropriate that a military service member gets a different treatment. And I believe that the effect of the statute has on our current statutory and case law scheme.
Did I hear you right? You don't think that we should give members of our armed forces special consideration?
In this particular area. I think there's plenty of other areas that society can.
So you serve your country, you give up your custody rights to your kids.
Well, I think that there are other options that a soldier has in dealing with those, like coming in and asking for temporary orders that would prevent the relocation of children clear to another state. And had he done that in Texas, as indicated in my brief, the Texas statutes had mechanisms for that. I also think that if a parent.
So I gather that when he asked his ex to take the kids, she said, fine, I'll take them. It was not like I'll take them and keep them forever. So wasn't he under the impression that it was a temporary situation?
He may have been, but given the track record for these two people, he shouldn't have. Because he did the same thing.
Speaking of the track record of these two people, was there any reason why the court, there was some mention that she had some prior issues, but the court refused to look at them?
There was a sealed record, Your Honor.
I understand. And that's what I was. Were they not germane or possibly germane? Was there any argument made as to why the court should or should not view those records?
Yes, we had arguments before the court on that, and the court ruled that the record was sealed and could not take it into consideration.
Mr. Pena didn't act outside of the four corners of the Texas agreement when, in fact, he allowed Ms. Kempfer, to take the children during his deployment. Did he?
Probably not. But getting back to the thing, relationship between the parties, back when all this started, when the first divorce was filed, Mr. Pena made an agreement with Ms. Kipper, then Mrs. Pena, that he would take the kids after they'd been in Winnemucca for almost 6 months for Christmas vacation and send it back. And he didn't do that. He immediately filed for a divorce and custody of Hawaii.
That's not really before this court, is it?
I believe it is. The judge took it.
Wouldn't that have been for the Texas custody decree court to look at that if that was a problem? I mean, it seems to me at some point that past is past.
Well,
it's certainly not a changed circumstance. I mean, it was before the Texas.
I agree with that. What I'm saying is part of the problem is that the district court looked at that at least as far as the context of these so-called agreements.
I see. Because I see your point.
They supposedly had an agreement back in 2004. He breached it. Now they supposedly had an agreement in 2010. And she allegedly breached it. There's no trust between these parents. It's the problem.
Let me ask you a question that, and I appreciate the difficulty of arguing new statutes and how they apply and so on. You do not want the statute preserving or saying that the parent's deployment in military service shall not be taken into consideration to apply here. If it does apply here, let's say we don't accept your arguments on equal protection and retroactivity and all the rest of it. If it applies, can you defend for me the decision of the district court on
Yes.
changed circumstances? What was different that was not the product of the prior decree and the deployment, which is off limits?
The change of circumstances affecting the children are that they now have half-siblings in Winnemucca that they have a right to have a relationship with. Their mother has improved her lifestyle tremendously, and I believe that is a standard under Ellis versus Crucci that is clear for recognizing the change of circumstances. In my brief, I suggested that appellant was arguing for a but-for test and saying that but for the deployment, we wouldn't be here. Well, maybe that is, in theory, the central issue here. But nevertheless, even without the deployment, mom had this substantial change in her life. The children have had a substantial change in their life as far as...
But the children wouldn't have been with mom in Winnemucca but for the deployment. So if you take the but-for proposition, you're in trouble on that argument. Right?
Well, I think that's why I'm trying to say that the but-for test should not apply,
right,
because the
right.
statute clearly says that it has to be more than deployment. Deployment alone is the command of the statute. So if the court has more things besides deployment, then in theory it can go ahead and do a change of circumstances.
Didn't the court...
I'm a little troubled by the concept that we have a statute that says, in essence, you should not count against a military parent his or her deployment in the context of child custody. If that is so, if we're going to have that statute, one of the consequences of deployment, unless the parent were to take the child with them, and that's not going to happen when the parent is being deployed to Iraq, for example, is that the child will build more substantial relationships and put down roots where the child remains, whether it's with the other parent or another relative. And so if you're saying by statute we're not going to penalize deployment on, and we're going to recognize military service and parental rights and try to harmonize this, the inevitable byproduct is always going to be, if it's a deployment to a war region, child will pick up stability where he or she is during the period of deployment. Can we consider that consistent with the statute?
I think you can, but the dynamic, as you're suggesting, is that the statute changes the calculus for dealing with change of custody and essentially does away with Ellis versus Crucci. And under those circumstances that you've described, the children will be bounced back and forth every time a military person is deployed. And I think that's one of the reasons why that statute should not stand, because it punishes the children as well.
But isn't there a social judgment that a parent in the military is in the best interest of the child, maybe even over and above staying in one place?
Well, I disagree with, if that is a social judgment, I disagree with it.
I mean, I'm saying that seems to be what the statute has said.
I believe that's what the statute is essentially trying to say. But in the context of our military now, and I think Judge Montero clearly identified this, is that it's about volunteer force. It's not like the draft that most of the men in here dealt with in our earlier lives. And because it's a voluntary organization, the collateral damage to the children is what happens when a person gets deployed. And that's not fair to the children.
Unless you think that having a parent in the military outweighs it.
Okay, Justice Jerry.
Judge Montero interviewed both these children, right?
Yes, sir.
And I'm looking at the date the order was entered, was January 16th, 2013. That would make Elisa 15 and Nathan 11.
Correct.
Is that, he took that into account that they both wanted to stay with the mother in Winnemucca?
Yes,
and
sir.
Not go with the father?
Yes, sir.
And I always thought that I haven't practiced domestic relations in years, having been on the bench, there was a preference always, especially a child that was 15 years old, who, by the way, is now 17. The daughter's going to be 17 in August, and the son will be 13 in July. Isn't there a preference there, aside from Croccio and the rest of the case we may have, when a judge interviews the children?
I think it is a clear preference, and I think the reality of life is at some point, as the child gets of those particular ages, you can't make the kid go do anything. That's been my experience in life. A 14, 15-year-old person doesn't want to go even visit the other parent. It's hard to make him go kicking and screaming. So I think the dynamic here is when you're looking at the whole picture, the family unit, as we were talking about earlier, you can't look at the one factor of deployment and say that that prevents doing what's best for the children.
Okay. Justice Paragon, did you have a question before?
You know, it was it's a very simple question. I think I just answered it myself. I was trying to recall Judge Montero's order, and does it really matter? Does the statute really matter? Because it seems to me like he indicated very specifically he considered so many other factors other than the fact that this new statute might apply.
Right. I don't think he ever made a ruling that the statute applied, but I think he said,
I think he did. But I do believe he did. But he also indicated in his finding of the fact that he considered all kinds of factors outside of this statute. And it seems to me like the argument was, the primary argument was that he erred and that this was his sole basis for determining custody. And so that concerned me.
I think that's the appellant's primary argument.
Yeah.
And also Judge Montero clearly indicated that this was not deployment, it was reenlistment that was a concern of his as well.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Swanson, you have about almost 3 minutes left, so you may proceed with your rebuttal argument.
And if you could start by answering my question that I asked Mr. Bullock about the children's preference when they're interviewed by a district judge, of whether it be a family court judge in Washoe or Las Vegas, or a rural judge who has civil, criminal, and family responsibilities.
There's a reason why NRS 125-480 has a laundry list of things to look at in determining best interests. The children's wishes are one of them, but only one of them. And I think that, unlike some other states that might give more deference to a child's wishes, Nevada hasn't gone that way because I think Nevada realizes children sometimes don't make the right decisions, especially when they're teenagers. That's pretty common. That children can be manipulative, especially in a divorce situation. And when you got a child here like Alyssa, who has now got all these freedoms, and she's loving the freedom, she's not being disciplined by a military parent, she can do whatever she wants to do. She's going to say, hey, this is where I want to be. I don't want to have to go to school and get good grades if I don't want to. Right? I don't want to dress however I want to. Right? If I want to have bad hygiene, I can do that under my mom's care. So that's why, yes, we look at that, but it's not the end of the chase. We have to look at everything else that goes along with the best interests of these children. Why is she feeling that way? And in this case, it was because the other things we look at are the grades, the hygiene, things like that.
Why didn't the judge give joint legal custody and joint physical custody to these parties? I mean, considering both sides have good arguments here, why is it just joint custody and then work it out?
Well, joint physical custody when you live thousands of miles apart is not easy to do, to get that 40%.
Well, judges do that all the time with the move statute. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they seem to overcome distance and arrange it. And if it was joint, we'd, what Justice Sata said about punishing somebody in the service, I mean, you know, that's tough. And then children's preference, that's tough. So, I mean, this is one that you could have flipped the coin in.
Well, in this case, Judge Montero gave basically the entire summer to Mr. Pena and a lot of holiday visitation, but it still doesn't equate to 40% of the time, which you have to have for joint physical custody. It's just very difficult when parties live that far apart to basically do a 50-50 split or a 60-40 split. I think that's why. Just to clarify, Mr. Bullock argued that there were some adjustment issues as to why Alyssa didn't do very well. These were not adjustment issues. Letting your child go to school dressed inappropriately is not an adjustment issue. That's a parenting issue. Letting your child go off to school with bad hygiene is not an adjustment issue. It is a parenting issue. There was also a question about when these grades were introduced into the district court. We had our first part of this trial in May. The school year was almost over. We completed with, I believe, two more days in August. And so the grades had changed from the middle of May when we had the first set of evidence to when the school year closed about 2 or 3 weeks later. So the grades did change a little bit. They came up a little bit, but still they were woefully inadequate compared to what they had been when these children were in their father's care. The fact that the district court...
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Okay, thank you. The fact the district court said that it's not the deployment for why I'm finding a change of circumstances, it's the reenlistment. Well, okay, signing a piece of paper saying I'm going to reenlist with the Army is not a change of circumstance. It's a continuation. The word reenlistment is to renew. You are continuing what you have done before. How can that be a change? So the district court erred there. I think what he was saying was it was the reenlistment that allowed this instability to continue. What instability? The children were doing well with their father, and nothing had changed. He was being deployed. He was having his duty stations changed before and after the reenlistment. There was no change, and the children were doing well in his care under that scenario. It should not have been switched.
Great. Thank you both very much for coming here to Carson to argue this case, and we will take this matter under submission. The court will be in recess until tomorrow morning at 10.